Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now, and if you're just joining us, we were talking a moment ago about the situation in Ukraine. The country's new president, Petro Poroshenko, is, among other things, a billionaire. The latest in a long list of billionaire leaders, from the ousted Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat in Thailand to the ousted Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi in Italy to Vladimir Putin in Russia to Michael Bloomberg in New York City. Poroshenko made his fortune as the owner of a candy company. They call him the Chocolate King. But does being a successful businessman, a billionaire, translate into being a good democratic leader? Robert Frank is CNBC's wealth editor and author of Richistan, A Journey Through the American Wealth Boom and the Lives of the New Rich. He joins us from the CNBC studios in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. Robert, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So another billionaire leader gets added to the list, but you say that's not necessarily a good thing for the people.
No, you know, there's all this hope around Poroshenko that he will save Ukraine, you know, and perhaps both forge a relationship with Russia and build ties to the West. So I went to look back and see how did billionaires do in other countries when they're elected as leaders, whether it was Thailand or Italy or Russia. And in fact, the track record for billionaire presidents and prime ministers is not so great.
And why not? What is it that's wrong with their track record?
Part of it has to do with the character of billionaires themselves. They tend to be very imperious. They tend to be dismissive of criticism. They tend not to be very democratic leaders. But the other part has to do with money itself. Although they are often voted in as answers to corruption, as people who are not going to be beholden to other interests. In fact, when they get into office, they're often very, I wouldn't say corrupt themselves, but often the lines between their own companies, their own businesses, and the government tend to get very blurry. So in the case of both Thailand and Italy, you had cases where those leaders, Thaksin in Thailand and Berlusconi in Italy, kind of commingled their business relationships with the state. And when you get to be that rich in a small country, it's hard to avoid that.
So you're saying corruption is a problem, although corruption is also a problem with leaders who are not rich.
Correct. And I think one of the hopes was on the part of voters that if you just elect the rich and kind of remove the middleman, i.e. the politicians, then the wealthy will simply run the country as effectively as they run their own companies, and that they will somehow, you know, be not as beholden to a certain lobbyist or beholden to labor unions or any specific group, et cetera, that they'll be their own men. And in fact, if you look at the case of Thailand, there were cases there where the prime minister, Thaksin, was actually transferring some state assets to one of his relatives using government help. If you look at the case of Italy, there was a sense that Berlusconi's fortune was closely intermingled with that of the government and government contracts, government advertising. So again, rather than allowing these billionaires to be independent, their wealth and corporate interests actually tied them even closer to government and corruption.
But then you think of somebody like Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, and his supporters would say this is a guy who is not beholden to anyone. He's not corrupt. He's got nothing to lose. He really wants to make the city a better place, even though it may not be in the way that everybody in New York City wants it to be. But you're getting a deal here because he's not beholden to all of these different interests who want something from him.
Yeah, Michael Bloomberg was kind of the one exception to my informal study. And I think part of that has to do with who he is and the political system he grows up in, which is the United States and New York is not Thailand or Italy or Russia when it comes to levels of corruption and vote buying. But also the mayoral role in New York City is a very executive role. It's easier to run New York City, which is fairly small compared to a country, easier to run that as a company, as an executive, as a sort of enlightened dictator, given how much power the mayor in New York City has, versus a true prime minister or president that has to strike compromises with opposition, that has to truly be democratic. And you saw with Michael Bloomberg even his desire and successful effort to get rid of term limits to allow him a third term.
Yeah.
Some people saw that as his sort of business imperiousness coming out and overriding the democratic process.
Well, and by the way, while he was mayor, he was not involved on a day-to-day basis with his company, Bloomberg.
That's one of the delicate balances that all these billionaires have, whether it's Thaksin in Thailand or Berlusconi in Italy. Each of them happen to have media empires, which are very powerful when it comes to government and influencing public opinion. They both said, look, I'm going to withdraw from my role. But in fact, they didn't. And Bloomberg did withdraw from his role at Bloomberg, but he remains a very powerful force in media and was throughout his term.
Well, let's talk about that character part of it. What is baked into the character of a billionaire?
Well, all billionaires are different, but we do know from a lot of studies that they do share some characteristics. They are incredibly focused, they are highly competitive, and they thrive on criticism. Larry Ellison, the billionaire founder of Oracle, once said that when you innovate, you've got to be prepared for people telling you that you are nuts. Now, in business, being nuts can make you a lot of money. But in politics, being nuts is not an attribute that you want associated with you. So in business, being imperious and dismissive of critics is a strength. In politics, not so much. You have to compromise. You have to be willing to accept criticism and respond to it. And in business, that's just not something that's part of the DNA of billionaires. The other part that's very interesting is there was a study that showed that 3/4 of billionaires see economic profits and wealth as their motivating factors. It is very difficult to take somebody who is economically motivated, who's driven by a desire for wealth, and suddenly when you put them into office, have them set aside that motivation and be democratically motivated, be motivated to help others and to help an entire country. So I think billionaires cannot change who they are inherently and what drives them. And of course, what drives a lot of billionaires to become who they are is an economic motivation. It's money.
Well, why are there so many billionaire leaders around the world? You've just named a bunch of them. That seems like a lot considering how many billionaires there are in the world.
There are more than 2,000 billionaires in the world. And, you know, in a sense, it's surprising there aren't more billionaire leaders. But we will see more and more of them as wealth gets more concentrated and as political systems become more beholden to the wealthy. And I think what happens on the part of voters is that there's this kind of collective wealth fantasy that if we only elect this billionaire, some of his expertise at creating jobs, at creating wealth, at becoming wealthy will actually spread to us, will spread to our country. We will become as successful as his company. And that's the fantasy, and it truly is fantasy because so far it hasn't worked in any of these countries.
Robert Frank is CNBC's wealth editor and author of Richestan, A Journey Through the American Wealth Boom and the Lives of the New Rich. Robert, thanks.
Thank you.
And let us know what you think. Do billionaires make good political leaders? There's already a debate underway on our Facebook page. Sarah Savory writes, running a company where everyone has to do what you say is not the same as leading a democracy, where you have to work with other leaders, compromise on what you want, and adjust your ideas to the needs of others. Jacob Landfield writes, at least Poroshenko already has money. There are many political leaders who come from much poorer backgrounds who then take advantage of their power. Perhaps there is less chance for this effect. And Tony Schidler says, sure seems to help you get elected, at least, to be a billionaire. Tell us what you think at facebook.com/hereandnowradio or at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.